सहनं भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। Bringing Ishvara into our lives. Since last two evenings, we've been discussing the nature of Ishvara. Yesterday we concluded Ishvara means God is the creator of the universe. And Lord Krishna says in the Gita, Mattah Paratram Nanyat Kinchidasti Dhananjaya. Hey Dhananjaya, hey Arjuna, there is nothing other than me. Meaning that I am the maker as well as the material. I am the creator as well as the universe that is created. The creator also I am, and the created also I am. If the created or the creation is not apart from the creator, then you don't have two things in the universe, you have just one thing, namely Ishvara. Therefore, where is God? Vedanta's answer is, where God is not. Because what is God. Sarvam khalvidam Brahma. What is Brahma or God. It brings up another question. So many devatas are here. Lord Shiva is there, Lord Vishnu is here, Devi is there, Ganesha is there, Lord Rama is there. So how many gods are there? Is it not that the Hindus worship many gods? Answer is no, there are no many gods, so they cannot worship. But for worship, it is important to establish a relationship. That's the beauty of Hinduism, that it enables us to establish a personal relationship with Ishvara. Ishvara is impersonal, of course, equal to everybody. But he wants to be special to me also. Worship requires that Ishvara must be, have a special connection with me. Thus we have different devatas. So Vishnu is a devata, Lord Shiva is a devata, Rama, Krishna, all of these are devatas. Which is the same Ishvara in different names and forms. Same Bhagavan, same Ishvara is looked upon from different standpoints. Just as a man is looked upon as father by somebody, as son by somebody else, as husband by yet somebody else, as brother, as friend, as a boss. How one man is looked upon in a different way by different people, one person. It is not the father is different, son is different, brother is different, husband is different. They're all one. And still from the same person, different persons are invoked. So wife has a special relationship with that person. The son or the daughter has another special relationship with that person. The father or the mother will have a special relationship with that person. source of brother, source of friend, source of sister. Thus, all of these are what we call functional names. When person performs many functions. So these are all functional names of the same person. And each role you can call it. One person assumes different roles in different conditions. Each role brings out some very special aspect of that person. With his son or daughter, when he is father, a special aspect is brought out. With his spouse, when his husband, a special aspect is brought out. When parents, when his son, yet another aspect is brought out. Because the person possesses many aspects, many qualities, many attributes. And therefore, different names are based on giving importance to a given attribute. And then similarly also, because it is difficult to worship Ishvara in all his attributes, where he is omniscient, omnipotent, he is omnipresent. He is a creator, a sustainer, a dissolver, an ordainer, he is everything. And we cannot relate to Ishvara in its totality, our mind being limited. We want to, someday we want to. But we begin by relating to Ishvara in its particular aspect. So Lord Shiva represents a particular aspect of Ishvara. Lord Vishnu represents a particular aspect. So when Ishvara is looked upon as creator, he is called Brahma. He is looked upon as sustainer, he is called Vishnu. Looked upon as destroyer, he is called Rudra. Looked upon as one who dispels or removes my obstacles, he is called Vigneshwara. Looked upon as mother, looked upon as father, looked upon as son. It is possible to relate to Ishvara in a variety of ways depending on how you want to relate. That's a beauty. If Ishvara is only one kind, then everybody has to relate in Father in heaven or whatever, then everybody has to relate only as Father. But here you can relate to Ishvara as Father, as Mother, as Master. So you are a servant, he is master. You are a friend. You are a child. You can be a parent and worship him as your child. Thus, not that there are many gods. They are all different manifestations of the same God, same Ishvara. In order to help the devotees establish a personal relationship with God. Then we have to grow further. And we want to grow ultimately to a point where we even transcend that relationship. Because ultimately Ishvara is my own self. And therefore there is no relationship, ultimately is my own self. I do not have any relationship myself. I am myself. So relationship is used as a climbing, as a ladder. Ultimately, to know Ishvara as my own self. And that opened up lots of possibilities, lots of kinds of worship. Because in Hinduism, it's not an organized religion. There is no head of the religion who sends fatwas and things like that, that everybody has to follow only certain thing. Therefore, there was freedom of thought. And there were so many parallel forms of worship developed in India over centuries. And now we have in India a number of sophisticated ways of worshipping Ishvara. It is true that in course of time, those methods of worship called rituals became very complex. And people had some difficulties. But the beauty about this tradition is that the teachers or spiritual leaders keep coming one after the other. And simplify the thing. And thus, we have very simple ways also of relating to Ishvara. There are very defined ways of relating to Him, the forms of puja or worship. In different upachara, different steps are there, and then each one of them is specified how to remember, how to meditate upon Lord, how to invite Him, how to give Him a seat. What about puja or worship? We treat Ishvara as a very revered guest. And how we treat a revered guest in that manner, we treat him. And give us an opportunity to express all our affection and love. How someone whom you love, you want to feed him well, and you want to, you know, so similarly you can offer garlands and ornaments and food and flowers. And you can sing his praise, sing his glories. You can dance before him. So you can have a very elaborate form of worship, you can have a very simple form of worship also. What is important is the spirit of devotion. As the time went on, ultimately, spirit of devotion became more and more important than those formalities. Thus, everybody has an opportunity to relate to Ishvara in his or her own way. Thus, we have the devotees in India who have been the highest devotees of Lord Krishna, Lord Rama, Lord Shiva, of Lord Ganesha, of Devi. For every deity, we have the highest devotees, meaning that by worshipping them, they have evolved into very devotees of very high level and ultimately discover the oneness with Ishvara. So this is how Ishvara can be brought into our life. One way of bringing Ishvara into our life is by worshipping Him. In this puja, as Ramana Maharshi says, kāyavān manah kāryamattamam pūjanam japas chintanam kramāt. You can worship Him at the level of the body, limbs. You can worship at the level of speech. You can worship at the level of mind, at all the levels. And therefore, different forms of worship are all prevalent in the Hindu tradition. So that is to answer the question, why we are so many devatas. Since we ourselves do not understand the tradition, we are also very confused. So when people confront us, how many gods they are worshipping, we get confused. Our own children get confused. And the parents sometimes are not well explained to them. But this is the explanation behind the different devatas and different forms of worship. Coming back again now to bring Ishvara into our life, into our life. So we discuss the nature of Ishvara these days, all those days. Then what is ourselves? The I in Sanskrit is called Atma. Atma means I, or the self. Sometimes I also is called Jivatma. So there are three entities in your life. Jiva, Jagat and Ishvara. The individual, the universe and the creator. Those three are only reduced to two. When we say that the creation is not separate from the creator, therefore the creation does not remain an entity separate from creator, so there is one. Ishvara is both the creator as well as the creation. So now we have to look at ourselves. Who are we? What is it we are trying to do in our life? Or are we trying to do something in our life? Yes, we are. We are constantly struggling. Struggling to be better than what we are, greater than what we are, different from what we are. That means that there is something that we want in our life. Human being has come with these desires. And desires keep on springing up in our mind. We keep fulfilling desires and new desires keep coming. So sometimes, someday, a person will ask, what do I want? How come? In spite of fulfilling so many desires, still the desire doesn't go. The desires keep on changing, but the desire ever remains the same. And desire means what? A person who is in need. A desire on my part expresses a need. A need expresses a sense of incompleteness, inadequacy. That I am not adequate or complete as I am, and I want to be adequate. So every desire is an expression of my need to become adequate, to become complete, to become happy. I find that I'm not happy as I am, and therefore constantly I try to become different from what I am so that I can become happier than what I am. So usually the human life is a process of seeking happiness from a variety of sources, because the objects of the world seem to promise happiness. Wealth, name, fame, power, recognition, relationships, heaven. There seem to be many sources of happiness. And I keep on trying to derive happiness from these variety of things. But I do not seem to find any lasting sense of satisfaction. Whenever my desire is satisfied, I do feel a sense of satisfaction, no doubt. But then, it is not a sustained or lasting sense of satisfaction. For a while, I feel happy, then I feel that still it is not enough. When I did not have anything, I wanted to become I wanted $25,000. I thought that will be fine. When I had them, I wanted $100,000. At that, I want $1,000,000. Another, I want a multimillionaire. There seems to be no end to what I want. This verse we have told you in the past, a very famous verse in Sanskrit, which says, Nisvo heka satam, sati dasa satam. Laksham sahasradhipah. Nisvaha, one who does not have a penny, wants 100 rupees. Shati dasa shatam. One has 100 rupees, wants 1,000 rupees. Laksham sahasradhipaha. One has 1,000 rupees, wants 100,000 rupees. Means millions those days, you know. Wants a millionaire, a multimillionaire. Alright, all the money that you wanted, are you satisfied? Lakshesha Shidipalatam. Once his wealth, he wants to have power. So he wants to be Kshidipal, he wants to be king. make him a king. Are you happy? Kshitipati chakre shivat sampadam. The one who is the king of a given region wants the sovereignty of the whole earth. Okay? You are made a sovereign of the whole earth. Are you satisfied? So, no. Chakresha punarindrata. The one who is sovereign of the whole universe wants what? Wants now to become the king of the heaven. Indra. Okay, you have made Indra. Are you happy? Surapatihi brahmaspadam vanchati. Indra wants to be Brahma, the creator. Brahma, Vishnu, Padam. Brahma wants to become Vishnu. Vishnu wants to become Hara. And so forth. Trishnavadim kogataha. Who has ever attained the end of Trishna, the craving? This craving can never be satisfied. Meaning that Mahabharata says that if you give all the gold and all the objects of pleasure that are in the universe to one person, imagine. If all the gold and all the pleasures are given to one person, even that also is not able to satisfy one person. Why is it so? Because happiness is not where I am looking for. Happiness is in a different place. All the time I am struggling to become happy by acquiring the objects of pleasure which are other than me. In fact, happiness happens to be my own nature, myself. How can I find it? When this insight comes, but Swami, how can you say that happiness is your nature? Then you should be happy all the time. Unfortunately, happiness, which is my nature, is nevertheless veiled by the clouds. Just as the sun shining in the sky is veiled by the clouds, and therefore, even though the sun is shining, we fail to experience the light. So also, the sun of happiness, which is a self, is ever shining. But there are clouds of what? Likes and dislikes. There is lust, anger, greed, jealousy. All these negative tendencies or negative impulses, a cloud of these negative impulses deprives me of the happiness which is my own nature. So this is a very important insight that Vedanta gives us. That you are what you are seeking to be. You are what you are seeking to be. You are seeking to be happy, well, that is what you already are. If I am already what I am seeking to be, then how come I do not experience it? Because ignorance is denying you. Ignorance and all these likes and dislikes caused by ignorance, they are the inhibiting factors. There is something that inhibits the manifestation of the happiness which is my nature. See, if you understand this, then the process of life will change. That I want to be happy is of course undeniable and nobody can grasp that desire. Except that right now I am going about a long way to become happy. I am seeking to acquire things, whereas life should become a process of getting rid of things. In the process of acquiring things, I am accumulating more and more likes and dislikes. Because everything comes with its own baggage. The universe, whatever we acquire, comes with its own baggage. Nothing comes free. So baggage of likes and dislikes keeps on coming and thus it is growing. Therefore, the process in our life should be of getting rid of likes and dislikes. If this is understood, then being Ishvara becomes alright, becomes possible, becomes easy. Because Ishvara is not away from me. We said in the first that Ishvara himself is the nature of Ananda. Ishvara or God is the nature of Satchit Ananda. Existence, consciousness, wholeness. So what you call Ishvara is in fact my own self. That is limitless. That is Ananda. That is wholeness. That is completeness. That's my nature. Meaning that I do not require happiness. What I need to do is to bring to manifestation the happiness which is my own nature. Therefore, now, once we understand this reality of life, we understand the reality of our own self, that I am what I am seeking to be. Then now, the process is not one of acquiring what I do not have. The process becomes getting rid of what is inhibiting, what is an obstacle to my experiencing happiness. So therefore, then life is no more a process of acquiring what I don't have, becomes a process of getting rid of the likes and dislikes that I have. So that is how you can bring Ishvara into your life. Because, who is Ishvara? On one hand you can say he is all the possessions. On the other hand he has nothing with him. He is free from, we discuss in great detail how Ishvara is complete, whole, free from all likes and dislikes. No partiality, no cruelty. Samoham sarabhutesu, I am equal in all the beings, not Krishna says. This is a very important vision that Lord Krishna, Ishvara says, I am equal in all the beings. Even in the devil also, I am equally present as I am present in a saint and a sinner, I am equally present in all of them. Meaning that, as Vedanta teaches, a sinner also has all the potential of becoming a saint. Because being a saint is our inherent nature. Saintliness is our inherent nature. If we define in ourselves some elements of evil, such as we find in ourselves some anger, some lust, some greed, some jealousy, we do find. They are not inherent in us. They are not natural to us. They are not of a nature, they are only incidental. Something that is acquired, and there was something that can be gotten rid of. Just as a piece of sandalwood, which is fragrant in nature. That sandalwood, if placed in water for a few days, then its outer surface gets rotted and the sandalwood starts stinking. Sandalwood is stinking, remember. So sandalwood is fragrant by nature. It's stinking, how can it be? Is stink inherent sandalwood? Answer is no. The stink is only acquired, is only incidental. So it can be gotten rid of. Therefore, when we rub that piece of sandalwood with a stone, then the outer surface is rubbed off and the fragrance which is its inherent nature becomes evident. So we are all like the sandalwood. We are all fragrant people. We are all beautiful people. We are all saints by nature. Only Vedanta will tell us this. Nobody else will tell us this. And whatever evil that we see in ourselves is all due to ignorance, is all due to abuse of free will. Because of ignorance, because of lack of discrimination of Viveka, I did not know what was right for me and what was wrong for me. And therefore in the past, I did many things that in fact were not right for me. What I thought would help me, in fact, hurt me. All I need to do is to live in a right way, and that's all. Use my free will in a proper way. Not abuse it, but then use the free will in the proper way. Use the free will in such a manner that whatever I do becomes a means of getting rid of the sink which has entered my personality. And it brings out the fragrance which is my nature. The fragrance is called happiness. The fragrance is called peace. The fragrance is called love. Call it happiness or peace or love, that is the nature of the self. That is our true nature. Sometimes some Dhanvi Swami, you don't know what I am. That's why you're saying it. You don't know what I am. If you knew what kind of thoughts are going on in my mind, you would never say this. But you say with all the confidence. Regardless of what thoughts are going on in the mind, regardless of what I have done in the past, there is a scope that I can turn around. Lord Krishna says, apiches sudurachara vajate mamananyabhak sadhureva samantavya samyak vyavasito hisa. Lord Krishna says, apiches sudurachara. Even if there is a person who is given to doing all evil actions, that has become his nature, habit, not nature. Become a habit to abuse the free will all the time. Even if such a person is there, you can be called a sinner, let us say. A champion sinner, sudurachara. Durachara means sinner, sudurachara. Champion of all sinners. Who has committed every kind of crime. Such a person, suppose such a person is there. Lord Krishna says that once in his mind, this determination comes that I'm going to change. If that person realizes that what I have done is wrong, I want to change. I want Ishwara in my life. I want to bring to manifestation my true nature. Sadhu Revasana, Lord Krishna says that he is no more a sinner, he is a sadhu. He is Sadachari. Means you understand that as a person of good conduct. Even though his conduct has not a change, but understand, because his determination has changed, therefore, consider him to be a sadhu or a person of good conduct. Kshipram bhavati dharmaatma. This person who is given in to perform evil actions in short time, he becomes a dharmaatma. He becomes one who slowly becomes a person who effortlessly performs all good actions. Shashvat chantim nigacchati attains eternal peace. Thus for everybody there is a possibility. Nobody is an exception. It may take some time. How much time we do not know. For example, if you want water, you can dig a well. But when will you get water? You have to keep digging until the water comes. But you already got water at 20 feet. But he's in a different soil. This fellow got water when it is 40 feet, okay. But I have been digging since 250 feet, I still don't have it. Doesn't matter, it's there someplace. Water is there. If you start in a desert, you have to go 1,000 feet, but it's there, definitely. And therefore, what I mean by 1,000 feet is that veil of denseness or darkness is so thick, that it may take a longer time to get it off. But it will go. Darkness cannot remain in the face of light. Ignorance cannot remain in the face of knowledge. The non-discrimination cannot remain in the face of discrimination. Once you have decided to be right, righteous, then unrighteousness cannot. It may try. Our habit of unrighteousness may try to assert itself. And it may be a struggle to keep on asserting your righteousness. It was a struggle. That Rama, Lord Rama, required so many days to kill Ravana. It was not very easy. But ultimately, satyameva jayate, the truth has to win. The truth which is my nature has to win. We keep on asserting the truth. There's value for that. So the first thing that is required in our life is a value. Value for myself. Who am I? I'm Atma. I'm the Self. Who is inherently fragrant in nature? Who is inherently saintly in nature? Who is a whole and complete being inherently? Which means that my incompleteness, my inadequacy, or my evil, whatever I see in myself, is not my inherent nature. It is something that is incidental. And therefore it can be removed. All I need to do is a determination that I want to become saint. I want to become complete. So that's how Ishvara comes into our life. On the first day we quoted the verse from Bhagavad Gita. Yatah pravrittir bhutana yena sarvamidam tatam. That line we explained for 2 days. Who is Ishvara? One. From whom the whole universe, who is the creator and source of the whole universe, and one who pervades the universe. So Vedanta presents Ishvara as both immanent as well as transcendent. Immanent, all-pervasive, as well as transcendent. Other traditions present Ishvara as a transcendent. When they say Father in heaven, it transcends. We don't deny that. But he does not only transcend, he pervades everything. They would think that there cannot be Ishvara in his name and form. No, he said that whatever is Ishvara. So we first worship Ishvara that is immanent. Ultimately, to know his Ishvara, there is transcendence. That's the process. In Vedanta, they use the expression Saguna Brahma and Nirguna Brahma. Saguna Brahma, Ishvara with attributes. Creator, sustainer, dissolver, omniscient, omnipotent. Worship him. Svakarmana tamabhyache. Worshipping him with through your actions, through your duties. So first thing to do is perform the duties in our life. What is duty? Swami, how do I know what is my duty in a given situation? Generally we know what is right in a given situation. More often than not, in every situation, you have 2 choices. One choice is what is right. Second choice is what I like. What I like and what is right. These 2 claimants are there. In my mind, in fact, both these fellows are there. There is one in my mind who wants to do what is right. There is another in my mind who wants to do what is convenient. Somebody wants to cross all the T's and dot all the I's and wants to do what is right. But very often that fellow's voice is overwhelmed by the other fellow who is selfish, who is greedy, who is insecure. So there is an insecure person in me. All selfishness arises from insecurity. What will happen to me? Hey, don't give away. What will happen to you? So when you are ready to give some charity, some little, you know, to even a beggar in India, when you see the beggar and see him suffering, then your first impulse is to, okay, pull out 100 rupee bill and give him. But then when part of my mind says, hey, 100 rupees, that's a lot of money, don't give it to this person, give 50, give 20, give 10, give 5, give 1 rupee. Ultimately, I wind up giving 1 rupee by the time I give him. There is somebody in me who is insecure. From insecurity comes greed. From insecurity comes likes and dislikes, attachments and everything. All of these are products of insecurity. Why am I insecure? Everybody is insecure. Why? Because I find myself an inadequate, limited being, a needy being. So my conclusion about myself is that I am a needy person. And therefore constantly I am striving to fulfill my different needs. Vedanta says, no, do not function from the platform of need. Do not function on the platform of greed. Do not function on the platform of insecurity. Meaning, do not give reality to your sense of insecurity. If you do, it will perpetuate. Remind yourself, insecurity is not my nature. Fullness is my nature. But I don't feel full, Swamiji, I feel insecure. Doesn't matter what you feel. Therefore, what is reality is that fullness or wholeness is in nature. See, that makes sense also. Even though normally we feel inadequate, incomplete, small, limited, there are moments when we feel complete. There are moments. Some moments come when we become ecstatic. Something happens which is unexpected. I become extremely happy. I get lost in that happiness for a moment. So when there is a moment of happiness, when I'm ecstatic, when I'm lost, what happens at that time? At that time, the duality between I and the happiness goes away. I merge into happiness. There is only one flame of happiness, which is boundless. So there are moments when we do experience boundlessness. When sense of individuality also goes away, then again it comes back, the moments they go away. And that is the reality about ourselves. It's most amazing. The what I feel for 24 out of 24 hours, what I feel for 23 hours, 59 minutes, 59 seconds is not the reality about myself. But 1 second when I feel happy, that is the reality about myself. Unbelievable, that's what it is. So then that becomes my objective. When I lost myself, mean the total happiness. So those experiences, in fact experience of deep sleep tells us also. In the deep sleep or dreamless sleep, we are totally free, totally secure, totally free from all sense of inadequacy. How do you say that? Because everybody loves, everybody looks forward to the experience of sleep, deep sleep. Everybody looks forward to that. That nobody is willing to sacrifice sleep. Unless you have to, that's a different thing, but you don't otherwise. And you know, you have to watch everybody, how they prepare carefully for the sleep. Right kind of bed, right kind of bedsheet, right kind of pillow, right height of the pillow, right kind of pullover, right kind of comforter, whatever. The fan at the right speed or air conditioner, the right temperature. I'm never so careful or particular about anything else. I'm so particular about this because that shows that I'm looking forward to a very pleasant experience. In the morning when the alarm sounds, I just shut it off. I am most reluctant to come out of that experience. I look forward to entering that experience. I am very reluctant to come out of that. That shows that that experience is one of happiness, one of freedom. So that is our nature. Therefore, Lord Krishna says, do not function from the platform of insecurity. Act as though you are a complete being. Even though you feel incomplete inside, you act as though you are complete. You know then what happens? An incomplete, inadequate, insecure person is always begging, asking. Whatever action he performs, performs for satisfying his self-centered desires. Our Swami calls him a consumer. A consumer is, I want, that I means that's that ego, I want, all the time. My attempt is to satisfy that little ego. Unfortunately, the ego is like fire. More I satisfy the ego, more demanding it becomes. Nobody in the world can satisfy the ego. We try to satisfy ego of other people also to make them happy, regardless of what you do. More you do for them, more they ask. Because ego is like fire. Can never be satisfied. My life has been its constant struggle to satisfy the stupid ego. I can never be successful. Stop that process and start the process, then reverse the process. Instead of being a consumer, become a contributor. Instead of being a seeker, become a instead of asking for things, start giving things. Become a contributor. So paropakara is called. You know, paropakara means help others. Because the whole universe is functioning in the spirit of paropakara, or helping others. All elements of nature invariably give themselves away for the happiness of others. Paropakaraya vibhati suryaha. The sun shines, illumines the whole world with no expectation, gives light and energy to the whole world just in service to the world. Paropakaraya vahanti nadyaha. The rivers also flow for no personal agenda. Simply to serve all the people in the plains. Paropakaraya phalanti vrikshaha. The trees give rise to fruits. They never eat their own fruits, always for others. Meaning that wherever we see in the nature, the spirit is one of paropakara, one of helping, serving, self-sacrifice. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, how the universe is manifestation of self-sacrifice. How the universe goes on? Because of yajna or self-sacrifice. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna used the word yajna. Yajna means, you know, it is a fire ritual in which offerings are made. A fire ritual in which offerings are made to devatas are called yajna. But Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita gives a broad meaning to the word yajna, any action where the selfishness is sacrificed, where I offer myself, where there is spirit of offering, any action can be called yajna. Yat karoshi, yat ashnasi, yat juhosi, dadasi, yat tapasasi kaunteya, tat kurushva madarpanam. Lord Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer in the fire, whatever charity you make, whatever penance you perform, whatever you do, do it in a manner that it becomes an offering to me. Doesn't matter how much you offer, there is spirit of offering. Patram, pushpam, phalam toyam, yome bhaktya prayachati.
It's not that he wants big things. Patram, just a leaf, pushpam, a flower, toyam, water, phalam, a fruit. You may, meaning that things that are available without any effort. You don't have to spend money for them. They are all available. You may bhaktya parechadi. Whoever offers me with bhakti of the devotion. Important is the spirit of devotion, spirit of offering. I want to make myself do that. Fake it till you make it. Fake it means what? Pretend. As though you are a complete person. You are a secure person, not insecure. In course of time, you make it. That's called yoga. Yoga is the process of making, faking till you make it. So thus, bringing Ishvara into our life. Who is Ishvara? Who is manifest as this universe. And what is the spirit we find in the universe? One of being helpful, one of helping, one of serving, one of self-offering. That's what we find in the universe. Called yajna. So being the yajna, the Lord is manifest as a harma in the universe. That harman is yajna or self-offering. That will bring the spirit in your life, that's how we bring Ishvara into our life. Also, as I said, very often there is a conflict between what is right and what I like. My mind wants to often take a shortcut. Because sometimes doing what is right is painful. If what is right is easy, nobody will ever sacrifice that, you know. Basically, everybody loves truth. Everybody loves righteousness. And if no price is to pay, everybody will be truthful. The question of sacrificing truth comes when there is a value. When I have to spend something, sacrifice something for truth, then there is a question. Meaning that if I can speak truth without losing anything, I'll be happy to do. But suppose I lose $5, $10, no problem, $15, $100, $500. I have to think, for speaking truth, $500 is a lot of money. And still I am at $1,000, $5,000? Meaning everybody has a value. How much I am willing to sacrifice for the sake of truth or for the sake of righteousness? For the sake of doing what is right. Meaning that doing what is right very often requires me to sacrifice. Basically, what am I sacrificing? Only my ego, my self-centeredness. That's all that is sacrificed. But that is so dear to me right now. Difficulty in sacrificing is so dear. My ego is so dear to me. And whatever is dear to ego also is very dear to me. Therefore, I have so difficulty in parting with that. It requires a great determination. That ego is not to be satisfied, dharma is to be satisfied. What is right is what is beneficial to me, not what is convenient. What is right versus what is convenient. See, in a Western country like Canada, it's easy to live a life of doing what is right, basically. In some other countries, it becomes more and more difficult. In a country like India, it may be more difficult. Where what is convenient is what prevails. What is right is difficult to find. But forget about that. Even in small day-to-day situations also, we find ourselves compromising what is right. We tell one little lie. You know, because I want to protect myself.
I don't know reveal what is truth. But Mahatma said that, look, even husband also does not reveal everything to his wife. Or a wife does not reveal everything to husband. Because a relationship will not last at all if I reveal everything. And then I keep something to myself, always. Always something to hide, because there is a sense of inner shame. And then I want to hide something about myself. There are things about myself that I do not like. There are aspects of myself that I am not happy with. And therefore I always want to hide them. So there is always some dishonesty in myself. It is not simply corruption in terms of money, in terms of, as I said, being honest. Sometimes it's so difficult to be honest. Somebody, what is your salary? You know, I don't want to reveal my salary because it's swindling, you know. That's all Swamiji. So I want to, you know, present myself as a big person. So the need to present myself as a successful person, as a big person, you know, because I need respect from others, I need approval from others. The need of approval from others makes us dishonest. Because I do not approve of myself. Once I start approving myself and become free from the need of approval of others, then I will not have hesitation in being honest. So it's a process of growth, understand? This is the process of self-growth. Doing what is right, learning and growing. Svakarmana tvabhyarcha siddhim vindati manava. Lord Krishna says, worshipping Ishvara with one's own actions. That every action becomes an act of worship to Ishvara. When you perform the puja, every action is performed in the spirit of worship, all right. So that also is important to do. Because when we are with the Lord, it's much easier to maintain the spirit of worship in our mind, because I'm with the Lord. And I need not be, I can be open with the Lord. I can be honest. I know that He is not going to reject me. So the reason why we are not honest is because we feel afraid of being rejected. Afraid of being disapproved. Afraid of being, not loved. And being accepted, being approved, being loved is so much of a need. So that is a puja, meaning worship of the Lord in your puja room or in your temple becomes important. Because when you are with your Ishtadevata, like Lord Krishna or Rama, you know that the Lord always accepts you. He is not going to reject you. Here is one place where you are secure, where you are not going to be rejected. Therefore, you can afford to be honest. You can afford to be as you are, without having to, there is no pretension required. I don't want to pretend to be different from what I am. Otherwise my life is nothing but pretension. Only the facade is there. The way I show myself is different from what I really am. There is one place where I need not pretend, when I am in front of Bhagavan, in front of my altar. I know that here is a place where I will not be rejected. I can afford to be honest and tell Him what I am. So that is why that puja becomes important. Prayer becomes important. Worship becomes important. All becomes important because I can be what I am. I can at that time invoke the true devotee from me. See, when I am interacting with the world, it becomes difficult to invoke the devotee from me because the world keeps on pushing my buttons. Even when I want to do something for you, you keep pushing some button. Because this fellow met me after 50 years. He used to be my friend. I'm so happy to see him. Then he says, Swamiji, do you remember what you did that time, you know? You remember what you did in the exam? How you cheated? He reminds me of something that I want to forget. Meaning that the world has an uncanny knack of pushing the button. Therefore, it's so difficult to be honest and being devoted, there is one place where no buttons are pushed. In that sense, the act of worship becomes a very important act. But the world keeps pushing the buttons. Let the world push the buttons. Then I know what buttons I have and what buttons I have to overcome. And that's how I slowly and slowly perform my actions as honestly as I can, as much in the spirit of offering as I can. Convert every situation as an opportunity to become a contributor. Our Swami used to say that whenever somebody comes before me, the first thought that occurs in my mind is, how can I be useful to this person? Swami used to say that whenever anybody comes before me, the first thought is, how can I be useful to this person? I used to say, whenever somebody comes before me, my first thought is, how can I use this person? There are two ways of relating to others. How can I use them? Or how can I be useful to them? That's the spirit. That's just change. How can I use? That is my self-centeredness. How can I be useful? That's my offering. And therefore, I'm asking every situation, in every small interaction also, ask this question, how can I be useful? And we can be, if you decide, we can be useful in every situation, in some way. Bring a chair. You see that there is a needy person, bring a chair from there to here. After this talk is over, put the chair back. Whatever. Little things. Always an opportunity to do little things. If you want to do. This you become a useful person. You become a giving person. You become an offering person. And slowly, you know what happens is, the beauty about the whole thing is, that the reward is immediate. The reward of performing even one act of kindness is immediate. Because when I perform one act of kindness, there is an immediate satisfaction in my heart. Immediate. Because I know that if I was in that situation, this is how I would have liked to be treated. So when I treat another person as I would have liked to be treated, then I know that I'm doing something which is right. I'm doing something which is virtuous. And right away, it creates in me a sense of satisfaction. A sense of self-worth, happiness. Thus, every act of kindness creates in me right away happiness. A sense of self-satisfaction. Sense of self-worth, and this is a way to slowly come out of the low self-esteem. We are diffident. We don't have much respect for ourselves. We don't have low self-esteem. This is a way to overcome that low self-esteem or a sense of self-dissatisfaction by doing what is right. By performing one act of kindness. And as my mind will discover the value of it, it will only want to do more and more. Because mind wants happiness. Formerly I was trying to get grand happiness. New formula is what? Become happy by giving happiness. Formerly I was a grabber. From that, I want to change into a giver. So the right way of becoming happy is by giving happiness, not by grabbing happiness. Because a grabber will never be satisfied. He will want more and more. A giver discovers an immediate satisfaction. This is called drishtaphalam. Immediate result is there. And so you get convinced that this is the right process. As you discover a satisfaction in yourself, you are convinced that this is the right process. So karmana tamabhyache siddhim vindati manaha. Lord Krishna says, by worshipping the Lord, who is all-pervading, who is in the hearts of all, you serve anybody, you are serving the Lord. course, when you serve an altar, that is worshipping Lord, but if you have this attitude that Ishvara is present in the self of all, He is in all living beings, not living beings, sentient, insentient, everywhere is present. So when you do something for anybody, it is doing for Ishvara. As long as I am doing something not for my ego, doing something for someone else, it is worship of Ishvara. Siddhim vindati manam, Lord Krishna says, a person attains siddhi, person attains success in life. So true success is invoking that happiness from within myself. Because that happiness is without any cost. Happiness that comes from external source, we have a big price to pay. Happiness that comes from within myself comes free of cost. No price is to be paid. And how far can you grow? This is the process of how far can you grow? Our Swami used to say you can grow to a point where there is no more to grow. Meaning that you can become limitless. So that's the potential that this simple process has. Called worshipping Ishvara. Making our whole life as a process of worship. Do whatever we do. May Ishvara be pleased. May Ishvara in this form be pleased. May Ishvara the Creator be pleased. May Ishvara the order be pleased. Thus I align myself to the order, to the harmony of the universe. That's how real success comes in the life. So this is the only way of becoming successful. People have wrong ideas about success is. They think success is something out of myself, that when I'm a wealthy person, I'm a successful person, etc. No. They say success is not the key to happiness. Happiness is key to success. Success is not the key to happiness. Happiness is key to success. Therefore, real success is happiness, which is your own nature. More you bring to manifestation your true nature, more successful you are. And you know the potential of manifestation of totality that you are, more successful you become. A wise person is the most successful person. Prajahadi adakaman sarvan parth manogatan atman jivatmana tushtah sita prajnistadochade. You discover that you become free from needs. What is meant by growth is discovering the satisfaction of myself, and I discover myself as free from requirements, free from needs, free from demands, free from need of any favor. Ultimately, you come to a point where you become free from all the needs. Pradhati yata kaman. Wise person is free from all the needs. He is the most totally non-demanding person. So what's the growth? Becoming progressively more and more non-demanding person. As you keep discover inner satisfaction, you become more and more non-demanding. You become totally non-demanding. With a totally successful person. Who is a totally successful person? Or who is a successful person? A non-demanding person is successful. More non-demanding you are, more successful you are. So that is the secret of success that Lord Krishna teaches, Siddhim Vindati Manam. So that is how bring Ishvara into our life. And ultimately establish the identity with Ishvara. You start with worshipping the Lord who is all pervasive. And to discover the transcendental Lord as our own self. First is called bhakti, second is called jnanam. First step is bhakti, devotion, second step is knowledge. We become prepared for the knowledge when we prepare ourselves with bhakti on the devotion. Om Purnamadam Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyade Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyade Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Bhyo Namah.